Those days, in times like this, when you have been given an opportunity to preach amongst God's people, I would be very much excited and be happy that I will be standing before the people of God and proclaim God's word to them. Until after my 5 years experience in the ministry, that preaching is not easy as we think it is. And then it's not something that we could treat it lightly. Because you can agree with me or you can disagree, it's fine. There is a thin line in preaching to mislead the people of God and also to lead the people of God in faith to Christ. We are aware that these days we see that many people are being misled by the name of preaching. The pastor is still using the Bibles, but they are still misleading the people. And also we do have the good preachers who proclaim the word of God, who lead people of God to Christ. So today, brothers and sisters, we will be looking or reading from the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 1. We read few verses, verse 1 to verse 6. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 6. In the 18th month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophet cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtook your forefathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us. Amen. My worry is most of people who call themselves Christians, they are only Christians on Sunday. But then from Monday to Saturday, they are something else. Their life does not reflect what we claim to believe in. And even though you could see, even at the working situations, people claim to be Christians, but then the way they treat each other, you could wonder and ask yourselves that, but is it this person a Christian? I remember one day I visited one of the elders in his working place, and he was a boss. When I arrived then at the reception, they asked me questions and I answered. And then we had a small talk with the lady. And then she said to me, Muruti, if this man will enter heaven, I also, even without being a Christian, I will be in heaven. This is, we can't laugh on this such kind of a matters. My heart was very sad to hear that. And then I took a few minutes to minister the lady. But then what I'm trying to say is that is at some point it seems as if there are those moments whom we put off the Christian life. And there are those moments whom we put on the Christian life. And also we see that especially in the Christian in an African people, we see that people proclaim and claiming that they are worshiping and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you find that they are still worshiping to their ancestors and still consulting to their sangomas. So my brothers and sisters, I titled my message today that God commands us to repent from our sins and turn to Him. The historical situation underlining the book of Zechariah is identical in the time and place to the one which called forth oracle of Haggai. The return from exile had become a reality. A small remnant of the Jews who had been torn loose from Judah had not taken root in Babylon despite their 70 years captive there. They returned to their homeland. This return was an extremely important even in the history of the Israel. And as Zechariah commenced his prophetic ministry just 2 months after Haggai began the prophecy. As we read in verse 1, and then we read also in Haggai verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in 6 months of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of the Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and high priest. They returned. The history setting in the same, both prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Probably, the year was 520 BC, 50 Jews had been back in Jerusalem for 18 years. The foundation for the temple had not complete in the first 2 years, but the work had been interrupted by Samaritan interference and no work had been carried out for the temple since. But then, where we have just read, Zechariah introduced himself and declares his first message. In the 18th month of the second year of the reign of King Darius, the Lord sent a word urging the people to return to him. They must not follow they must not follow the behavior of their sinful ancestors and disregarded the warning of the prophet and consequently suffered under the judgment of God. The Lord loving plead with Israel when we read in verse 3 that they should return to him and he will return to them. It may seem odd that Zechariah would begin a message of hope and encouragement by talking about God's anger towards sinners. The Hebrew expression is very strong. Three grammatical devices emphasize the intensity of God's anger. The first one, the verb to be angry, is placed first in the sentence for emphasis, to emphasize that God is angry. And then the second one, he was angry with anger. He was angry with anger, which means God was really ticked off. And the last one, the Hebrew word itself, it means to be full of wrath. So we should ask ourselves then, why was God being angry with his people? Because if we know and we understand that the Israelites were the people of God, God chose them. But then why now this God being angry towards his people? And then from the same very chapter, when we read from verse 4 to verse 6, it gives us the answer that why God was angry. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the former prophet cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statute, which I commanded my servants and the prophet, did they not overtook your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us. This tells us exactly why the Lord was very angry with his people. And then reading here, Zechariah, when he says forefathers, it means they are ancestors. But especially those who had been responsible for Babylon captivity. Their problem was not that God has not spoken. God spoken plainly and repeatedly through the prophets about their evil lifestyle. Or to say, their evil ways and deeds, practices. But the people refused to listen. The people refused to obey God's word. Let us pause for a moment and ask ourselves. We should ask ourselves that, is this the same very God whom we are worshipping today, who punished his people for not listening or obeying his word? Is he the same very God whom we are worshipping? And if he is, then it changes everything then. And also, we should ask ourselves that, what do we do after reading the word of God? What do we do after hearing the word of God? Even God today still speaks with us. He sent his preachers to preach the gospel. He sent the preachers to preach, to proclaim his word to us. What do we do then after hearing the word of God? Are we like the people of Israel who rejected? Or are we the people who listen and obey the word of God? What do we do then when the word of God speaks with us each and every day that brothers and sisters, we should love one another? What do we do? But then we find doing opposite. Instead of loving one another, we have hatred in our hearts. We gossip. We do all these kind of things that are contrary to the word of God. We don't treat each other well. We are quarreling at each other. But then at the same time, we say, we are the family of Mukanyo. We are working together. But to find that amongst ourselves, there is no love. What do we do then? What do we do when the word of God comes to us and says, repent from sexual immorality? Flee from sexual immorality. What do we do then? The word of God speaks with us each and every day that we should not bow down to any gods. But we found ourselves still Christians. People who call them Christians still bowing down to their ancestors, worshipping them, even worshipping their sangomas each and every day. But on Sunday, we are carrying the Bible and we go to church. We find people still worshipping the material things. They're still worshipping money. They're still worshipping positions. They're still worshipping power. They do all this. And when we confront the people with the truth, they defend themselves. People, especially those of us who are studying the word of God, sometimes we tend to think that we know more. Sometimes we tend to think that we are at the same level with God in reasoning. They defend themselves when you approach these people with the reality, trying to rebuke. You will hear even the same very people saying, no. Even the Bible says, no one is perfect. We, the Christians, I'm caught in sin, and I'm about to be rebuked, but I'm defending my position. That no. Even the Bible says no one is perfect. Then what about those scriptures then who says we should repent? Why can't we quote them? You know, at some point I get angry seeing people like that. I get angry. Brothers and sisters, we can play each other. We can fool each other. And we can keep on sinning, living the life that we want. That is not according to the will of God. It's fine, we can keep on doing that. But then we should know that we cannot and we will never play God. God is God. And then, guess what? Guess what? One day, the time will come. The time will come. Those who keep on sinning, those who don't want to repent, those who don't want Christ in their lives, they will face the wrath of God. You know, they will face the wrath of God and they will be judged into hell. People think that we are toying with them when we speak about hell. People think that we are playing when we speak about hell, when we preach about it. But the time will come. Brothers and sisters, if we don't believe in the gospel, if we don't follow Christ, if we don't repent from our sins, there will be time where we will be before Christ himself. And then when we read from verse 5, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Did they live forever? Your ancestors, the prophet whom I have sent to you, did they live forever? Did they live forever? I think here, Zachariah points the spiritual opportunity that these people, they had the opportunity to listen to God's word, to listen to the servant, to the prophet, because of God was sending the prophet to them, telling them, no, repent from those evil ways, practices. But they did not listen. They did not even pay attention. Their fathers died. The prophets died. And guess what? We also will be dead. We also, soon, we will be dead. If we do not respond obediently to the word of God today, we might not see, we might not have tomorrow. And brothers and sisters, for those who believe in Christ, for those who are striving to live for him, we know that God condemned the flesh on the cross. God the Father condemned the flesh on the cross for sin. Whose flesh? Jesus Christ's flesh on the cross. Whose sins? Our sins. Your sins? My sins. Whose condemnation? God's condemnation upon his Son Jesus Christ. This is not hard to see in the Bible. For the sake of us to have eternal life. What do we do then? What do we do as the people of God? We need to return from our sins and turn to God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our focus verse will be focusing on verse 3. Therefore, say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, and I will return to you. The way to return to God. How then do we return to God? Return to God, it means turning from your sin. Turning from our sins, which is repentance. Then, repentance in the Old Testament often speaks of God's repentance to describe Israelites turning back to their God. We read that from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. In the response to a promise to restore the fortune for the nation, and we see that in New Testament, however, the preaching of repentance is greatly heightened and given specific concept for the spirit, for individual. This feature starts with the preaching of John, the Baptist, reading from the Gospel of Matthew 3:5-12, and from Luke 3:7-17. Brothers and sisters, repentance is not a once-off event. We repent each and every second. We repent each and every minute. We repent from each and every hour, each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, and even each and every year. We repent from our sins. And we repent. We turn to God. Because it is impossible to cling to your sin and reach for God's salvation. It's impossible. Then, where we've just read, Zacharias' audience had returned to the land. They were rebuilding the temple. They may have thoughts in their mind. Why do we need to return to God then? But then we know that returning to the Lord is the key to experience God's blessing. As we read from verse 6, "But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servant the prophet, did they not overtake your forefathers? Now they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us." The people whom repented probably refers to those who suffered the consequences of the captivity. After the nation was restored and they went into captivity, they came to their senses and then they realized that God's prophet had been right. Means God's word had been right. And they had admitted. They have admitted that God had done to them just as he had done, he would do. God was right and they were wrong. And then, brothers and sisters, when we see the main idea of these two verses, verse 5 and verse 6, together, although your fathers died, and even God's prophet died, but still, the word of God is still with you. And the word of God is always true. That's the main idea of these two verses. Then, the question still remains. How then, us, yourself and I, returns to God? We first come to God in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We repent from our sins, then we believe in Christ, we have faith in him. As I've just said, that repentance is not a one-time thing. A walk with God is marked by continual repentance. Each and every day, we repent, then we turn to him. We repent from our sins and have faith in the Lord. When we claim that, okay, then we are in the Lord, then we love him. Then we love the Lord.
And then we know that when we love the Lord, God the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. And then when God the Holy Spirit is in us, He will enable us to repent from our sins. He will guide us not to fall frequently into sin. He will lead us each and every day. Because by ourselves, brothers and sisters, we are failing each and every day. Each and every day, when we try, we fail. Each and every day, when we try to repent from, it seems as if it's the more we sin. But then we know that when we love Christ, God the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And when God the Holy Spirit dwells in us, He helps us not to love sin. He helps us to hate sin and repent. Helps us to live. To live for God. Helps us to take, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. How then God returns to us? He returns to us by blessing. By His blessings. God returns to His people by His blessings. When we repent from our sins and turn to Him by faith in Christ, He blesses us. And you know what? I know that especially when you touch the issue of blessings, people become extremely excited. People become extremely happy because of it's what they want to hear each and every time. Thinking of blessings, we are somehow we think of having money, good cars, and all those things. Am I against that? No. Who I am? Who am I? If God blesses you, He just did. But my point is, we are there just to seek for the spiritual blessings from God. Because of these ones of the world, we know that one day they will perish. And then also, He returns to us by forgiveness and reconciliation. When God returns to us, He forgives our sins. And He reconciles us with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. We read from Psalms 2:18, Jeremiah 30:34, and also we read from 1 John 1:9. And then for forgiveness and reconciliation, we know that in reconciliation, God reconciled us with, He reconciled Himself with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And also when we read Romans 5:10, and then 2 Chronicles 5:20. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, what do we do? What do we do after hearing the word of God? Are we holding a red pen to mark God? When we read, are we having a red pen to mark? No, this is not what I want. I only want the scriptures who speaks about blessings. And then even the men of God after preaching, do we hold a red pen to mark Him? What do we do? What do we do, brothers? What do we do after hearing the word of God? Are we listening and accept the word of God and obey it and strive to live according to God's word? Or do we say, God knows no one is perfect? What do we do? What is our response? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the preaching of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.